This is episode number 30.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. This is a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. And whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking, the podcast, is all about, the RV lifestyle. Hey, this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes from the very heart of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. From Audible, where you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/roadtrekking. And Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, welcome to another week's edition of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. We've got a lot coming up. We've got lots of listener feedback we're going to jump into right away. We've got a great bucket list destination for you this week. Lots of RV news, including a great opportunity to go outside, as it says, and play in the dark. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And we got an interview with our buddy, the Verizon Wireless Uber user, Paul Ulrich, who's going to talk and help us sort out how to choose what's the best mobile platform for an RV, or an Android or an Apple, and how RVers can choose just what works for their lifestyle. So all that's coming up in the program. Right now, though, it's time, as we always do, to start this off with your questions.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
And joining me with the questions is my favorite road trekking reporter and my lifelong traveling companion, my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear. You're not feeling well today.
No, I got caught cold on Easter Sunday.
You're a poor baby. You sound terrible.
I am a poor baby. Every day when you have a cold seems like a week. And colds last 10 days to 14 days, so just have to quit your whining and endure.
The last time you got a cold was on our anniversary in August, and we were out in Montana.
And I was sick for 5 weeks.
We were in Wyoming. It was Wyoming.
Yeah,
you were
lingered.
Sick for 5 weeks. And then you gave me the great anniversary present. I came down with it on our anniversary.
I know. And our grandson, Matthew, he got the cold as well. But you guys all got better. I kept mine for quite a while.
You tend to be very possessive of your colds.
Yes, I do. I don't shake things. When people have a cough or have a cold, I'm just like afraid of them.
Yeah.
I try to flee because I know if I get it, I have a rough time shaking it.
Well, we're coming to you from our home in Michigan. We would be on the road ourselves in our road trek, where I for sure would be in much closer proximity to my sick wife. But we are here because this is the week we are expecting a new grandchild.
I have to get better so that I can hold the baby. Plus, I can't give our son and daughter-in-law any of my germs, so I'm just really bummed.
Our daughter-in-law, Amy, and our son, Jeff, are expecting their first child, and this will be our seventh grandchild.
That's correct.
And they're expecting their first child. We know it's going to be a little girl. Don't know the name, and that baby is due on the 11th. We're waiting for that call from Jeff, so you had better get better.
I know. I'm trying.
All right. Ready to listen to some of the feedback we got this weekend?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right. We got lots of stuff from last week's episode and some new questions, so we're just going to go right through them. Let's start with this one.
Hey, Mike Wendlin. This is Mike in Sylvan Springs, Alabama. Just wanted to comment on what Howard was asking about shortening your show. I totally do not agree with that. In fact, I would ask you to go 2 hours. Howard's just going to have to put that player on pause yourselves and come back and listen to it. But I listen to you for hours at a time as I work, and I really enjoy the show. So you can make this show just as long as you want to make it. As far as what do we listen to the show on, I did hear that question come up in one of the shows. I listen to your show on a SanDisk Clip, which is a small MP3 player. You do not have to get fancy to listen to this show, and you do not have to spend a lot of money. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Mike, is there any way you can put these shows, just list them on your home page? Mike, when I open your page up, I do have to wait a little bit for everything to get running on your page. It's real slow on my end on this brand new Hewlett Packard. Just wondering if you could list those podcasts on your home page so that all I would have to do is right click and save as and put them into my downloads. Anyway, I appreciate what you and Jennifer are doing. It's a lot of fun to listen to. Especially enjoyed the camp out you did up in the northern Upper Peninsula and went around and interviewed everybody in the campsite there at the campfire. That was a lot of fun to listen to. I really thought that was cool. You guys have a great day, and wherever you are, be safe.
Wow, isn't that a nice call?
That was so kind.
And it was fun. We did that winter camp out up in the Upper Peninsula, and we had a bonfire in the middle of, it was like got down to 5 below that night. That was fun.
It was fun. I look forward to that. I want to do that every year. That was fun.
Well, Mike, a couple things. First of all, the page loads pretty fast. We have it tested all the time, and we've got a pretty good maintenance staff that handles all of our websites. So it's something on your end. But there is a couple of places where you can find all of the podcasts listed together. When you go to roadtrekking.com, right underneath the logo that says Discovering the Small Motor Home Lifestyle, you'll find a category called Podcasts. Click on that, and that will open up all of the podcasts. And of course, on the homepage, if you just scroll down, our podcasts are right available there. And thank you very much for the feedback on the show. I think we tossed out a couple of weeks ago. We said, should we make this shorter or longer? And everybody was, I think we got one person that said shorter.
That was very kind of people to say that, keep it long.
We try and keep it about an hour. And unlike most podcasts are just an interview. And we try and make this more of a kind of an audio magazine. We love to hear from you readers. We love to profile new places and all that sort of stuff. And so we have all those different segments, and it works out to about an hour. And thanks. I don't know if we're going to do 2 hours, Mike, but we appreciate your feedback.
I just heard that this is number 30. What are we going to do for 52? Got to think about that.
This is episode 30 already.
Well, when we get 52, we got to do something really special, Mike.
I think we should give away something.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll have to think of it. Maybe they'll all figure it out. Yep. That'll be our first year. It'll come up in, I think, October.
Okay.
So there we go. All right. Thank you for that feedback, Mike. Let's go to, I think this is from Bob. Let's hear from Bob. See what he has to say.
I love your blog. I have a Class A, but your information is pertinent to all RV travel. I wish you could give some state-by-state travel tips as far as interesting places to camp and campgrounds to camp at. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Well, I'm glad that he has a Class A, because that we originally thought we were going to just talk nothing about except small motorhomes, even though that's kind of what the thrust of the lifestyle is. But we think on the podcast, we kind of open it up to everything that relates to all of us who are out there in RVs.
And there's lots of places that are recommended that are for Class A's as well.
Yep. And as far as you're listening, Bob, for state by state and stuff, well, we don't do it necessarily by state, but every week on the roadtrekking.com blog, we have at least two or three destination stories. And you can, again, right underneath the logo, you'll see trips as well as information on trips you can take. Even this past week, we've had two different reports on state parks to visit. Three, actually. One from Camp Skunk out west, and one in New York, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, and another one up in Michigan. So just to stay connected. I'm surprised there are a number of people who listen to the podcast but don't read the blog. So be sure and go to roadtrekking.com, because that's kind of control central for all of this stuff.
And something that you can do if you know you're going to a certain area, you can, on the blog, ask that question. Say, I'm going there. Where would you recommend that we stay? And say how big your rig is.
Yeah. And a lot of people also use our Facebook group for that. That's really good for that.
That is.
Yeah, so just go to Facebook and look for Road Trekking, the group. You got to be a member, ask to join, and I approve those as soon as we check out that you're a real person and not a spammer from Russia. We get a lot of those, but that's another place you can find out.
And you work very hard, husband. I'm going to give you a plug at how hard you work trying to keep things that would be divisive off that blog or that Facebook page, that try to keep it fun and where we travel and yep. suggestions like that.
Well, thank you. It is a lot of work. It's much more work than I ever thought, because it has become such an active community. But the people who are on it are just great. It literally is like family, isn't it?
4,000 people.
4,000. We just hit our 4,000 subscriber to the Facebook group. And we have a Facebook page for Road Trekking that has over 270,000 likes. But it's on the group where we have most of the give and take, then the questions. And that's where you can find out any place you're thinking about going. Just put it there, Bob, and somebody will send you some stuff. Okay, we've got a question from Darlene, who saw our How We Roll segment that we did on our screens when we were down in Florida. And Darlene's looking for some more information. Let's hear from her.
There's a whole bunch of us that do not have the kind of vehicle you do, or the Sprinter or any of those. We are in a Road Trek 96, and there don't seem to be any screens available for our windows. Do you have an answer for this, Mike?
Well,
sure, I'd like to find out.
Thank you.
Mosquitoes are coming.
They are coming. They are going to be very hungry.
Yes, they are. They always are particularly hungry after waking up. Well, you're talking about the Chevy chassis, the older Class Bs, and the sliding doors on those. I have not seen any commercially available screens for them. Now, I have seen people who have made them, and they look pretty good. They're kind of like what we have.
They do. There's so many talented people out there. We've seen more creativity with ways they've dealt with that. So if you have a sewing machine, go to it.
And what most of them seem to look like is you either use Velcro or you fasten screen cloth. I guess you get that from a fabric store.
Mm-hmm. Must. Magnets.
And then you get magnets and you embroider that in or sew it in. And they close up with magnets. Some people put a zipper in. If you look on roadtrekking.com, just type in screens, you should find a couple of stories that we've done. And then on our Facebook group as well.
What about that screen in the back? Do they make that for other than the Sprinters?
I think they do. I think there's a screen. So call your Road Trek dealer and ask them if they can get you that optional screen that goes across the back two doors that open up at the back of the Chevy, if that's what you have. I know they have them for the Sprinters. You can get those as an option. So there's lots of things. And of course, the Skeeter Beaters, which we love, those are the side door windows on the driver's side and the passenger's seat side. And those are magnetic screen mesh. Nothing gets through those, that kind of fasten to the vehicle body around the window. And there is a version for older Chevys as well. So you can get that. And you can find a link to Skeeter Beaters at the roadtrekkingstore.com. Go to roadtrekkingstore, all one word, .com, and you can find Skeeter Beaters there. So there, and they work great.
They do.
That's good. We love to leave those open and get lots in. Okay, I think we've got a friend from named Vinny, and Vinny tells us where he's from, but you can tell it as soon as Vinny starts talking. So, Vinny, welcome to the program.
Hello. My name is Vinny. I live in Long Island, New York, central Long Island, about 60 miles east of the New York City line. And my question is, last week's podcast, you were talking about the Family Motor Coach Group and how they have volunteers to drive coaches. I'm not a current owner of a RV at the present time. I'm within 4 years of retiring, and me and my wife are seriously considering this. This is something we want to do. And hopefully within the next 2 to 3 years, we'll have our coach. So, number one, I'd like to thank you guys. What a great podcast. I look forward to every Monday getting it and listening to it. But my question is, could I be a volunteer and help out if need be. Volunteering is in my blood. I've been a volunteer fireman for over 33 years. You know, between church and everything else, I just like helping people out. Would I be able to be a volunteer driver for somebody that unfortunately maybe had to take their motor home from Florida back to New York or vice versa? I don't know what the answer is because I'm not a member, and I went on the website and it looks like you have to be a member of the Family Motor Coach Group. And that's my question. Thank you again. Great show.
Well, thank you, Vinny. I love those kind of... Vinny doesn't even have one yet, but he's going to get one. And he's listening to the program. And hopefully, Vinny, you are reading the blog. I know you get the newsletter because that comes out every Monday. And the newsletter always refers to the podcast. But don't forget the blog, roadtrekking.com.
It seems like if you get a hold of Jerry at FMCA and told him that he'd like to volunteer, it seems like somehow they could connect people with him.
The Family Motor Coach Association is fmca.com. And you do have to be a member because that's kind of how folks know that, well, it's another member of the group. So they have some safety there. But I don't think you have to own a motorhome. I mean, I know there's a number of members of FMCA who have either sold theirs or they're too old to drive, but they're still members because they love the community and the fellowship. And you're about to become one. You're going to get an RV. So first, the thing I would suggest, Vinny, is that you join the FMCA. There's a link on roadtrekking.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, okay? Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you can see it says, what is FMCA? And if you click on that link, you'll be able to get connected with them. Or just go to fmca.com. I suppose that's an easy enough address. I can just give that out. So what a kind thing to do. There's something about volunteers that are close and dear to our heart. The world would not function without volunteers.
Yes, volunteers are needed. That's what makes the country work.
Yep. Okay. So, Vinny, thank you and welcome to the community. We can't wait to hear what RV you get, and we can't wait to meet you out there on the road someday. All right. One last one, and this is from Kathy, who just saw the most recent How We Roll that we did this week about your makeup mirror and all my electronic gadgets. So let's listen to Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Mike and Jennifer. I'm not sure if this even is recording, so I have no idea how to do this. But it looks like it is. Anyway, Jennifer, you're looking beautiful. Don't even need that mirror, but I understand the whole concept. And Mike, you look fabulous. Took off some weight, and it looks like it's agreeing with you, with your health. So kudos to you. My question has to do with showing the recorder on your dashboard. Do you need to take that down when you're away from the RV? I'm thinking in terms of somebody breaking in and trying to steal stuff. Welcome your comments. Thanks, Kathy Chanteau.
Thank you, Kathy. We'll get to Jennifer in just a second, but I'll just answer that last question about, no, I don't take mine down. In fact, I use mine as a security camera. It actually is set. I leave it on all the time. And at a campsite or out in boondock in someplace, it's on. And if there's critters that wander through the campsite, it will catch them. It will see them. It will turn on, and I'll get a picture of deer, bear, whatever's running around. And at home, I leave it on as well. I'll do the same thing. It's kind of like a security. I don't think anybody's going to break in and steal it because it's all wired up, and there really isn't much of a market for it.
That camera really is a nice thing to have. Actually, I think every vehicle out there should have one of those cameras. It just... records over and over and over again. And if you want, you can get sound. And I still laugh that when we almost had that head on with that truck, we decided we'd listen to disco music. We used to be big into disco dancing. We had so much fun doing the cha-cha on the swing to disco music. But anyway, we were listening to Stayin' Alive.
The Bee Gees.
Stayin' Alive. So we were listening to that song when we had our near head on with that semi.
And it was funny because we were on a two-lane road. You were driving.
Yeah.
And I looked and I said, well, look at that. It's a downhill and there's two trucks passing And went, oh my God, we're going to die. And it seemed, staying alive. You never said a word. You just slowed and pulled a little bit to the left, and then boom, it was a near miss. But we got that on video. It's up on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, that semi. He was shaking and shimmying when he passed us.
Yeah.
I just thought, I'm not going to lose control and go off the shoulder and have him have an easy pass here.
Yeah.
So he's a professional driver.
Yeah.
He can handle this.
I don't know if we can. It was a little close, but well, that was good. And Kathy was talking about our recent How We Roll, where you showed your makeup mirror.
Anybody can install one of those. Luckily, we had Hank. Hank installed it for us.
I am not the most handy person in the world. Let me just say that. And so that's why we Hank at American RV in Grand Rapids is our best friend, because we go over there and he does it all for us.
In fact, when you were going to hang the paper towel rack in the new RV.
No, I did that.
Well, we had somebody doing some work at our house, and I said, could you go out and just see how Mike's doing out there?
And he came out and installed it. But
had the wrong kind of, but you know, you didn't know, you didn't have the right
She's
type
making
of
excuses to, for me.
Well, no, you got to have
I don't know what
right,
I'm doing.
The right tools, and you don't know that. You went to a school where you didn't have shop.
Hey, I can make videos.
That's true.
So Jennifer's makeup mirror is what Kathy was talking about, and she got a magnifying mirror. And you didn't see the story I posted with that, did you? You didn't read that yet today? It just went
up. I didn't read it today.
Okay. In the video, you said it cost us $39 or $40,
yeah.
Which it did, from Bed Bath & Beyond. I found the exact same thing on Amazon for $26.
Okay. So even with that 20% off coupon, it didn't help that much.
It helped a little. That's why I forget. Everything is 20% off.
Yeah, I don't buy anything unless I have that coupon.
But still, Amazon had a better price on it. And I have links up on that mirror if you want to see it. But she's been after a mirror, a magnifying mirror, since you saw one at an RV show a couple of years ago.
Yes, I saw that magnifying mirror and thought that should be in every one of the RVs. And I had my screens, my magnifying mirror. And the other thing I want is like hotel rooms, that little clothesline that goes across.
Have you been in? I put one in just yesterday. I put one in. It's across the back. It's really cool.
Oh, boy. I wonder.
It's nice.
You mean we don't have the bungee cords hooked together back then?
Well, no. It's a little retractable clothesline. I just put one in yesterday. I don't think
dear.
She trusts me.
I'll have to go see what this looks like.
Anyway, this magnifying mirror is up there, and that was very kind. Very kind. Thank you, Kathy, for noticing that I have indeed lost a bunch of weight. I'm up almost 40 pounds.
Now, the first...
You're down almost 40 pounds.
The first RV that we bought, they had a little clothesline that we could hook up, you know, right across the back from side to side. And we'd hang our towels on there when we would stop. But then you're putting them up, taking them down,
yep.
Trying to let things dry when
we've got that extra
the
area now with the CSXL. And so you could hang the wet towels there.
Telling me I could get a clothes rack for back there?
Well, you probably could. But, all right. Well, there you go. So check out the magnifying mirror that Hank installed for us. I could have done it. But she doesn't trust me for that kind of stuff. So, in fact, when I go out there alone, she usually gets very nervous. What are you doing? Sometimes I'm just sitting in it. So that's all of our questions. Hey, we would love to hear from you guys as well as you do questions. And you can do that by just going to the website, roadtrucking.com, and click the leave voicemail message.
All right. Can't wait to hear what everybody's going to have for next week.
Well, go up and have some chicken soup or some hot tea and get yourself better, because you got to be on another podcast a week from today.
Every day being sick seems like a week. Got to quit my whining.
You can... You're doing well. Thanks for doing this, and go get better.
All right, I'll try.
All right. Meantime, loyal audience, what questions do you have? What feedback or comments? We want to hear about it.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the Road Trekking RV podcast is Van City RV, serving RV shoppers from the center of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV is one of America's top dealers, specializing only in Class B motorhomes from the three major small motorhome manufacturers. They are in stock, on display, and Van City RV loves to deal. They only sell Class Bs. The owner, Ray Dwyer, is the dean of Class B sales. Nobody knows small motorhomes better than Ray and his crew. They not only stock new models, they have a large inventory of used Class Bs as well, and they have a great fly and drive program. Shoppers from all over the U.S. choose Van City RV. They negotiate on the phone. They get their best price. Then they fly into St. Louis. They get picked up at the airport, taken to Van City RV. They pick up their new unit, which has all been prepped for them, and off they go. Jennifer and I have been to Van City RV. We've met Ray and Danny and the crew. They have one of the top service centers in the country. They've worked on our Road Trek motorhome, and we can personally attest to their skill and their expertise. Here's Danny, Dan the Van Man, with this week's special.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we have our 2014 SS Agile out the door at $99,000. I've got a 2014 RS Adventurous out the door at $109,000. Both these units qualify for the Road Trek $2,000 cash back on their solar panel incentive that expires at the end of the month. So give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at vancityrv.com.
Hey, thank you, Dan. I'm trying to get Jim Hamill from Road Trek to come on the podcast and talk about solar, because in terms of the Class B market, Road Trek has really innovated with solar panels, starting a couple of years ago with the E-Trek, and now it's available on all sorts of their vehicles, most of them. In fact, the whole roof of our new CS Adventurous XL is covered with solar panels. I think we have over 600 watts of solar. So solar is a big thing, and Road Trek has a special that you can talk about your dealer that it's like $2,000 worth of options with solar. So ask your dealer if you're thinking about it, and anybody who sees Jim Hamill in the next week, tell them we need to get them on the podcast and talk about solar and why for RVing this is the next big thing.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the Road Trekking news of the week.
Well, we got lots of news this week. First of all, let's start off with some grumbling that is coming from some conservation groups. And one in particular, the National Academy of Sciences, is leading a lot of opposition. If you look, there's a lot of publicity over the last week about America's national parks allegedly putting too much emphasis on the wrong animals in the wrong places, and thus neglecting endangered species that are just not as sexy as moose, bear, and wolves and the like. This study from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences says that there's a mismatch between the lands incorporated into protected areas like national parks and the habitats of an estimated 1,000 species of mammals, birds, reptiles, fish, and plants that are most in need of protection. Most of the national parks and the protected lands are in the West, the authors said, and many of the species that are found in the Southeast and the Southern Appalachians, those are the ones that are really in danger, and they lack adequate protections. And so there's a lot of debate about that. One of the authors of the study says it emphasizes the plight of endemic species, those that occur nowhere else in the world, and for which the U.S. protected areas are supposed to be very critical to their survival. The author says there may not be rhinos, lions, and pandas, but these other species are essential in their ecosystems that compose the American landscape. And he says it's a mistake to focus only on the big, charismatic things like wolves and grizzlies that everybody remembers. So they're calling for increased levels of federal protection for the Blue Ridge Mountains, Tennessee, Alabama, northern Georgia watersheds, the Georgia Panhandle, and the Florida Keys. So I've got a link on the show notes here, roadtrekking.com/30, and you can find out what species they're talking about and where. Here's another story. We're alerted to this story for you techies, RV techies out there, from reader and listener Daryl DeFries, and he passed along this story about an ultra-fast charging aluminum battery that has a lot of people really excited. Stanford University scientists have invented the first high-performance aluminum battery that's fast charging, long-lasting, and inexpensive. Researchers say that this new technology offers a safe alternative to many commercial batteries that are in wide use today. This is according to Hongai Dai, who's one of the developers in the study. He says, we've developed a rechargeable aluminum battery that may replace existing storage devices such as alkaline batteries, which are bad for the environment, and lithium-ion batteries, which occasionally burst into flames. Hongai Dai is a professor of chemistry at Stanford. He says, our new battery won't catch fire even if you drill through it. Now, aluminum has long been an attractive material for batteries, mainly because it's inexpensive. It's hard to burn. It has a very high charge storage capacity. But for decades, researchers have been unsuccessful in developing a commercially viable aluminum ion battery. A key challenge has been finding materials that are capable of producing sufficient voltage after repeated cycles of, you know, charging and discharging. But this study says they've solved that, and that aluminum batteries will be safer than conventional lithium-ion batteries used in millions of laptops and cell phones. He says lithium-ion batteries can be a fire hazard. Much of that has been fixed, I think, but he contends it's still there. He pointed out the recent decisions by United and Delta Airlines to ban bulk lithium battery shipments on passenger planes. He says, in our study, we've videos that show that you can drill through the aluminum battery pouch and it will continue working for a while longer without catching fire. He says, but lithium batteries can go off in an unpredictable manner in the air, in the car, in your pocket. And besides safety, we've achieved major breakthroughs in aluminum battery performance. He says, they're very fast charging. A smartphone owner, he says, could have their charging time if they used aluminum batteries. Unprecedented charging times, he says, down to 1 minute with the aluminum prototype that they're playing with. So we're a long time away from seeing these things, in particularly in RVs. But interesting technology, and there's a link if you want to read more about that at roadtrekking.com/30. All right, here's what I want to talk about, and this is what I am really excited about this. Are you ready for a big event coming up in just a week or so? It's International Dark Sky Week. It's a whole week. You ready for that? This is pretty cool. You can learn more about this from darksky.org, but the week is April 13th through the 18th, 2015. And on the weekend, the 17th and 18th, many, many parks around the country and outdoor areas really around the world are holding special events aimed at raising awareness, one, about light pollution and why that's a problem, and inspiring people to just go out and play in the dark and enjoy the beauty of the night sky. I'm pretty excited about this because one of the things on my bucket list for 2015 is to learn how to do astrophotography. We're going to be doing some of that with a special event we've got coming up in June in Montana, our road trekking, boondocking photo safari up in the mountains, the Beartooth Mountains of Montana. But I want to get a head start of that. And so I'm going to find one. There's actually an event not too far from my house. And if you're in Michigan and you're listening, and you might check your state as well, in Michigan, the Department of Natural Resources has a whole bunch of state parks that are going to celebrate this International Dark Sky Week. By staying open late for night sky viewing, there's 29 state parks in Michigan that are participating and will remain open late in the evening for this big event, assuming that there's, you know, good night sky viewing opportunities. Now, I live in Michigan. It's almost always cloudy in Michigan. It is. I'm sorry. Pure Michigan folks. It's almost always cloudy. I missed the blood moon the other night. I wanted to get out and get that. Too cloudy. And then actually, I probably could have gotten part of it, except it came up too late. This sunrise kind of obscured it in my location. But anyway, check it out. I'm going to go to one. Jennifer and I are going to go on Saturday, April 18th. We're going to camp out at the Lake Hudson Recreation Area. That's in Lenawee County, Michigan. And the reason we're going to that one is, one, they're going to have some dark sky events that night, but it is one of the only designated dark sky preserves in the Midwest. So we're going to go there, the Lake Hudson Recreation Area. We're going to spend April 18th out there and do some stargazing and learn some stuff about it. So you can check it up. I've got links to the Michigan events and also to the national events all on the show notes page, which if you head over, it is at roadtrekking.com/30. Roadtrekking.com/30.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
All right. Well, we want to talk about an issue that everybody has to wrestle with one time or another in this age of high tech and particularly traveling tech. And that is, what platform do we use? Android or Apple? That's the question. And so our regular Uber user, who is from Verizon Wireless, Paul Ulrich, joins us. And we've asked Paul to kind of help us work through a checklist. How do people determine which platform they can use? Both of them have strong pluses and both of them have some minuses. So what's best for the RVer? That's the context of this conversation about Android or iOS, the Apple system. Well, joining us right now is our regular pal, the Uber user from Verizon Wireless, Paul Ulrich, who joins us on the other end of the phone to talk about an issue that I think a lot of people end up scratching their heads over. And that has to do with the great question of our time. And by the way, this is the question, have you noticed they're asking all the politicians and the celebrities, they say, what is it, Android or iOS? Or do you use an Android phone or an Apple phone or tablet? And that's what we want to talk about on Road Trekking, the podcast with Uber user Paul Ulrich right now as we kind of dig into this question. A lot of people have had one or the other. They keep hearing about the other. What should go into the thought process of somebody thinking, what kind of a smartphone or tablet do I want? Android or Apple?
It's a first world problem, right?
That's one of our
biggest problems. Oh my God, how am I going to make this decision?
Yeah.
It's like the biggest thing I've had to decide on all year.
I know. Help me decide. So people are asking that. There are many people who are used to one platform or another, mm-hmm. but they keep hearing about what the other platform has to offer. So Paul, help us wander through this this great dilemma of our time. Android or iOS?
I'll take you through some of the things that I tell people, because a lot of my family and friends, they know I work for Verizon. So if they have a phone question, whether they are or are not a Verizon customer, they often come to me. And that's one of the – it's usually pricing is their first question. How's the plan set up and da-da-da-da-da. The next thing is the next most highly rated question I get is definitely about equipment. What should I get? What's the best one? And that's when you start going through the qualifying. Well, what are you going to use it for? What do you plan on doing? What do you – what do you want to do? Do you have family? Do you have family that's far away that you want to video chat? Those are all the questions I ask people when they're asking me about a phone. So if you're looking for I always encourage people to go, first of all, to go to a store and actually hold the phone in your hand. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be holding this phone a lot. You're going to have it. And what feels good in your hand? If you're like me, if you have small hands, you don't want one of those big giant phones. You don't want the iPhone 6 Plus. You don't want a Note 4. You don't want a Nexus 6. Those are the real big phablet phones that are the, part tablet, part phone. So I like a little bit smaller phone. So I always carry one of each just for testing purposes. I have a Droid Turbo and an iPhone 6. So those are still big screens, but not the biggest screen. If somebody tells me that, maybe they're like a 30, 40-year-old person who's got a couple kids and they got their parents an iPhone. Well, I'm gonna probably steer them towards an iPhone, because then they can video chat very easily, FaceTime each other, Apple phone to Apple phone. So grandma can see their grandkid who's just sitting around eating breakfast, or maybe they're at a game, or maybe they're just doing something cute, which kids do when they start talking and grandma wants to see it. That's something I'm going to suggest. I'm going to ask, what do your family and friends have?
And let's talk about that FaceTime for a moment, which Apple has mm-hmm. so well. And mm-hmm. so many people, and if you have an Apple phone, as Paul said, and somebody's already using FaceTime, they're going to say, hey, can I FaceTime you? And well, then you want to have an Apple phone to FaceTime. However, don't think that you have to have an Apple phone to be able to do a video conference with somebody, right?
Correct. Right. Google has their version. It's called Google Hangouts. So once you have, when you sign into your Android phone with your Gmail ID, it's the same ID you use to sign. Excuse me, same ID you use to sign into Google Hangouts, which is their video chatting. And of course, any smartphone to smartphone, you can use Skype for video chatting. You can use, there's a bunch of other apps, but those are kind of the native ones. Apple has FaceTime, Google has Google Hangouts. Those are kind of their native integrated ones into each phone.
And Skype will work on all platforms.
Correct. Cross-platform, Apple, iOS. You can use it from your computer. And of course, you can use these from tablets as well. You know, I can Skype. I've Skyped from my tablet to a computer. I've Skyped from an iPhone to a tablet. You know, yeah. You can. There's many different ways, but on its simplest terms, Apple uses FaceTime and Android uses Google Hangouts.
And the advice then is the people you're going to talk with the most, and if you really want to have video involved, get the same basic platform that your kids and grandkids have.
Correct. That's something I ask a lot.
All right.
Then another
good question.
Next thing I usually go to is size. So, how big of a phone do you want? Do you want? You've kind of got your small. Now you've got your small, medium, and large. Again, your large is your 6 Plus, your Note 4, your Nexus 6, LG Vista. You know, you've got a lot of bigger ones. Then you get your medium sized ones.
Yep.
Your iPhone 6 Plus, your Turbos, and then you've got kind of smaller ones. A lot of them, like I used an HTC One Remix for a while, which is like an M, like their HTC One, but a mini version. There was a Samsung GS4 Mini, which I loved. I used that for a while. So the Droid Mini, there's a lot of small phones that are still power packed, but they're just smaller. They don't have these bigger screens. So that's the next thing I go to. How big of a phone do you want? Are you always going to have it in your pocket, or are you going to have it in a purse? Where are you going to store your phone? Because your phone becomes a part of you now. It's not just an afterthought anymore. You have to think about how you're going to use it, how you're going to hold it, where you're going to carry it. Those are the things that people sometimes don't think about, and that is stuff that I do think about all the time when I'm using a phone.
And for Apple, your choice is basically the Apple 6. I think you still can probably find Apple 5s around there, but basically the Apple 6, which is a standard size phone, or the Apple 6 Plus, which is big. Now, one of the things I do, I have the 6 Plus. I used to have the Note, and I used to run through. I've tried all of them, you know, and I still do.
You got the big ones.
I got the Apple 6 Plus and have never had a second thought about it because it is big. But here's the deal with it that people need to consider. I seldom now use a tablet. I read my books on the Kindle app on the 6 Plus, and it truly is, as Paul says, a phablet, a fat phone, a kind of a almost a tablet, so they call it phablets. And
right.
That's a factor. It's another device I don't have to carry with me, and I can do a ton of stuff on the 6 Plus. So, but your advice about going to a store and holding these phones and getting a hold of them. Some of them now have like curved cases. I see some of the Samsung products have curved cases and they feel a little different, right?
Right. And one thing I did want to mention, I wrote it down as you were talking. Apple still does have the, you know, it's got the large, the medium. It does have the small. It still has the 5S as well, which is still a really good phone. So if the 6 was too big for you, you could still get the 5S also.
So it's three versions of Apple, right? And then it doesn't help us determine which platform to go on, but it does help us narrow that down. You might find a phone that fits in your hand and that's only an Android fan that you really like the feel of that. Well, that's a pretty good reason why you maybe want to consider getting that, right?
Right. And then as far as platform, to kind of circle back to your original question, it's always been kind of the overarching theme is the Apple platform is a little simpler. The Android platform is a little more flexible. Now, using both every day, I find them both to be very simple. They are a little bit different as far as if you want to set a text or you know, start a video call. There's different ways to do it and different ways to change settings on each phone, but they're both very simple. I mean, if you're at a Verizon store and you have someone give you a quick 20-minute lesson, you're going to know how to do the basics, and they're going to send you off with a lot of knowledge so then you can go home and start exploring your device. So kind of go to a store, play around with both. If you don't have a certain – and people do switch. There's a lot of Android people then that go Apple. There's a lot of Apple people that go Android. So you never – you know, a lot of times people do stay loyal to one operating system. But you can switch. I made the switch. It's, I know a lot of people have switched either way. So don't get too married to one. Don't be afraid to try out something new.
Now, you say the Apple's probably simpler to use, but the Android platform is more flexible. What do you mean by flexible? How would that play into a consumer's decision?
Well, I'll give you an example. If you're someone who likes to, like me, who likes to manually add and remove kind of pictures and movies onto your device, it's a little bit easier with an Android phone as opposed to Apple. Apple wants you to load everything through iTunes, which is fine. You can load pictures and movies into iTunes, then plug in your tablet or phone and transfer them via iTunes. But if you have an Android phone, you simply plug the phone into your computer and you can drag and drop it right onto your phone. So it's for me, I like that better. And also Android, you'll see a lot of the super high techie. With Android, there's more you can do as far as rooting your phone. You're getting way deep into cellular technology when you're rooting your phone. It's like re-imaging your computer. It's like taking your computer and putting a new image of Windows on it. So with Android, you can plug your phone in, you can root it, and you can really dig deep and change a lot of super, super techie stuff. It's stuff that I don't even do. I've got friends that do it, but I don't.
No, I don't either. And one other thing that we should point out is that at least at this point, it's easier to listen to a podcast with an iPhone, with Apple, because it is now an integrated podcast app that is right on right on the operating system. And we keep waiting for Android. Android, there are some podcasting apps you can get, like Stitcher. But for example, in the iPhone thing, if you subscribe to the Road Trucking podcast, you find it on the app. It's right on your screen. Just click that, search Road Trucking. There it is. Hit subscribe, and automatically, every time there's a new episode, it's up there. Now you can do the same thing with Android if you get an app called Stitcher, but it's a couple of little clicks you got to do that are not as convenient. Mm-hmm. That will change, I would think. Would it not, Paul Ulrich, don't you believe?
You sure would think, right? Apple kind of has the has the podcast or the like home making your own show on MP3. They've got that dominated for sure with the podcast, because everyone's got a podcast. You always hear about podcasts. A lot of sports guys all have podcasts, and they don't call it Android Cast, they call it a podcast because that's Apple's product. So they've done a great job at that.
And for those of our listeners who like to do a lot of cross country traveling in RVs, podcasts are a great way. They're free. You can download as many as you want. You have entertainment and information all the way through. Now, conversely, with an Android device, it's a little easier, because you don't have to go through iTunes, it's a little easier to listen to audiobooks on an Android. And I wonder why they have figured that out and Apple hasn't.
Right. You hear about the books a lot, kind of on both, because Apple has their Apple Store where you can buy the books right through there. I've bought a couple. I kind of mix it up. Sometimes I'll buy some on Apple. Sometimes I'll buy some on Android. And again, that kind of falls back into what we talked about earlier, is the size of your screen.
Yeah.
The bigger your screen, the easier it is to read a book on your phone.
Yeah, I'm talking about audio books, listening to audio
books. Oh, audio books. I'm sorry.
Because you can go to audible.com and you can then easily drag that, much easier drag it onto an Android than you can. You have to put it through and import it into iTunes. And so there are these little idiosyncrasies that people need to look at, and it has to do with what else you do on your phone. We haven't even talked about making phone calls yet.
Right. Well, that's like who makes phone calls on their phone anymore, right?
So everybody asks about apps. Difference in apps between iPhone and Android. Are most of the apps that we have on the iPhone available in an Android version and vice versa? Is that a factor that people need to consider?
Most of the apps that you're going to want are going to be on both. There are some more kind of integrated apps as far as if it's an app that's not your main, if you want to play, most of the big games are available on both platforms. Most of the big apps as far as are on both platforms. Is there something that's a little smaller, a little more niche app may only be on one or the other operating system? But for the most part, all developers know that the two biggest operating system is Apple and Android. So they're going to make their apps for both. I mean, I'm sure if you ask someone, there's probably a bunch that are only on one or the other, but none that I've ever come across.
And I know in terms of the RV audience that we have for this this podcast, all of the all stays and the big camping apps that so many people use, those are available on both platforms. So you don't have to worry about that. Same with mapping programs, right? Navigation GPS, all that stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Google Maps is – I use Google Maps almost exclusively. And I started using Waze a little more. And those, of course, are available on both operating systems.
So who is winning the war, Android or Apple?
Well, you see those articles a lot. If you look at the tech blogs, the big ones, BGR, Android Life, and Gadget, and Gizmodo, stuff like that. Because Android has more phones because it's open source. So if you wanted to make a mic phone, you could make your own version of Android and sell a mic phone. But you couldn't sell a mic Apple phone because that's more closed down. So I think it's a tie because people always talk about, oh, well, there's never any line. There's never a big line for an Android phone like there is for Apple. Well, yeah, because there's 50 new Android phones every year. If they only made one every year and only made an upgrade every year, there'd be a huge line just like there is for Apple. So I'm going to say it's a tie.
It's a tie. New phones from Android that are pretty cool. We talked about the Nexus phone that you guys at Verizon just began carrying the other day. That's a pretty cool phone.
Yeah, kind of a new wave of Android phones just came out. So the Note 4 was kind of right at the end of last year. It was like about October and December, the two versions of the Note 4 came up, which was Samsung. But now you've got Samsung's Galaxy S6. The new one is coming out next week. The HTC One M9 is coming out next week. The Nexus 6 just came out. So you've got a whole nother wave of new Android phones. Some people are very brand specific. They only like HTC, or they only like Samsung, or they only like the Nexus line. So everyone's got their new one coming out.
How about price? Is price a factor in we know Apple, which is very proprietary and everything, and we know their costs. I mean, they're up mm-hmm. there. Is there a price advantage to either to going with one platform over the other?
Some of the Android phones tend to have a little bit of cheaper version if you want to go with a little more entry-level smartphone. You don't have to get the top-of-the-line flagship like you would, Apple kind of just has their really good phone and their really, really good phone. They don't have kind of an entry-level one anymore. So if that is an issue, you might want to go with Android. But now there's so many different pricing options. As far as, do you want to go on a 2-year contract and take the subsidized price and get the phone for much cheaper, or you can pay it off monthly if you don't want to pay, $200 or $300 up front. You can pay it like $20 a month and pay off the phone that way. There's so many other options. I would think these days price is probably the last thing people look at. They're looking more at something that fits them and it's got all the features and it feels good in their hand, because phones are such a big part of your life now. You want to get one that feels good for you.
So that's kind of right where we started this conversation is go in and pick on up and try it. And I think that probably your first piece of advice about the people you're going to communicate with the most, what are they using? And it always is a little easier when you're on the same platform. And I think that helps. Anything else we need to know before we wrap up our segment on Android versus Apple?
Oh, man, so many things. I mean, we could sit here and talk for hours. But, and I guess the last thing to look at is don't forget about the first thing I always tell people to get a phone is get a case for it. So
you had to say that.
You want to?
I just broke mine.
You got to protect it.
I bought that 6A, and I was down in Florida. And I bent over, and it fell on a tile floor, cracked the case. And oh my gosh! But I found an Apple store, and for $138, they can actually put a new glass thing on it. But here's the thing: this is another important thing. There's only one case I want for it, and that's that. The Live case, I think it's called. Is that it? You know the one I'm talking about. The one that's waterproof, drop proof,
life
proof. Yeah, they don't make it for the 6A.
For the 6 or the 6S, you mean, right?
6A.
Yeah, not yet.
Or the 6 Plus. They don't make it for the 6 Plus.
I think they just – I have to double check. I just saw something on that.
They said that
it's coming soon.
It's supposed to be coming soon, but they've had that up since December. So everybody tells me. So I have gone through all of your different cases for the 6 Plus that Verizon has, and I've yet to find one now that I'm really satisfied with. So that LifeProof is the case to get. And because you can throw that in a tub of water, you can run over it with a car just about, and it does not break. And it's a really great case, the LifeProof case. So you say get it. That's my recommendation of a case. But I'll put a link on the show notes. But talk a little bit more about why getting a secure case with my example as the illustration, why it's so important.
Right. I always tell people if they're not going to get the insurance plan on the smartphone, get a really nice case. Don't get the $2 one from Amazon. Get something that you don't have to get this. If you don't want to get the super duper, you know, OtterBox LifeProof case, get the kind of your medium range cases. I love spec cases. I'm addicted to those. That's just kind of the brand that I always have because it feels good in my hand with the little rubberized on the side. But I mean, go take a look. There's a lot of brands out there, and get yourself a nice case to protect the phone if you're not going to get the insurance. Because just like you said, sometimes you know you can drop your phone 5 times and nothing happens to it, but it's that one little drop where it just hits a certain way and your screen's gone or it doesn't work or you drop it in the sink or unfortunately a lot of people drop it in the bathroom.
That's my question to you. Is somebody at a Verizon store once told me that the number one cause for smartphone failure was dropping it in the toilet.
I would probably echo that statement.
Yeah, I think I know a number of people. It hasn't happened to me yet. The closest I ever had is I was out in my Michigan home. I was out snow blowing and I had the phone in my jacket pocket and I was snow blowing and all that snow, it actually went in my pocket. It shorted out the phone. But again, I need that good case. Get a case. And there's also insurance that you can get that'll take care of that as well. So talk to the folks at your retailer and they'll hook it up. Well, Paul, you've kind of helped us out here and given us some good advice. Bottom line, what I'm hearing you say between the lines is they're both great phones. You're not going to have any problem if you go up or down, if you change platforms. And maybe it's a good idea to give it a try and see what you think of the other one. You'll learn something new.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. We'll have you on in another couple of weeks and we'll talk some more tech from our friend, the Uber user, Paul Ulrich from Verizon Wireless. Paul, thank you again for your expertise.
You're welcome, Mike. Anytime, call me.
This part of the podcast has been brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Hey, Indy car season is officially here, and Verizon is giving fans another reason to rejoice. The all-new Indy Car 15 app has arrived just in time for the start of the Verizon IndyCar Series racing season. It's available on iOS and Android devices, so it doesn't make any difference what kind of phone you have. You got it on both of them. IndyCar fans will not miss any of the action with this app, on or off the track. With the app's updated features and design, all IndyCar fans, regardless of their wireless carrier, will have access to their favorite teams and drivers, the views of real-time leaderboards, and the ability to view race schedules, results, standings, highlights, and more. And that's not all. The app puts Verizon customers in the driver's seat with access to exclusive content, including live in-car camera video streaming, live driver and pit crew conversations, plus IndyCar radio broadcast streaming. So you can get all the action and download all new IndyCar 15 app today for Android or iOS. And you can visit roadtrekking.com/VZW, roadtrekking.com/VZW for stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, we're going east this week to New York, New York State. Last month, I was honored to be one of 5 judges in a big national contest run by USA Today, the newspaper. And we were all travel writers and we're all charged with making a list of the top state parks in America. And we had something like 600 parks and we had to whittle them down to a top list of 20. And then after we came up with the top 20, it was up to readers of USA Today to pick the best. And the results are in. the best state park, America's top state park, is in New York. It's Letchworth State Park. Number two was Porcupine Mountain State Park. It's a wilderness area in Michigan in the Upper Peninsula. But in honor of Letchworth's top spot, voted by USA Today readers and whittled down into a list that they chose from that I was lucky to be a part of as a judge, let me just tell you a little bit about Letchworth. We Jennifer and I visited last summer, and it is a really nice state park. It's 14,000 acres, so it's a pretty good size state park. It's about 35 miles southwest of Rochester, New York, about 60 miles south of Buffalo, and it's often dubbed as the Grand Canyon of the East because there is this spectacular 600-foot deep gorge that has been carved out of limestone and sandstone shale by the Genesee River there. And there are a series of waterfalls that you're going to just find beautiful, absolutely beautiful and very photogenic. Road trekking regular W. Dan Holchensky is the guy who turned us on to Letchworth, and we visited it on our way out to New England. Actually, took a detour a little south from Rochester to go see it. And we spent an evening and part of the next day just hiking and photographing the amazing scenery of Letchworth. Besides the gorge, there are some spectacular waterfalls. Like I said, there are three major ones. They're called the Upper, the Middle, and the Lower Falls, and they're located in an area called Portage Canyon that you want to go to in the southern section of the park. There's a great campground there. The falls are about 10 miles from the campground, so it's a big park, like I said. But we loved the campground. It's a big campground, 350 sites, and found it really awesome. It's a great area filled with history. The Seneca Indians are well documented there with displays. There's a restored Seneca Council House. There's a grave of Mary Jemison. You know who she is? Fascinating character, an American frontierswoman who was captured by the Seneca Indians while she was a teenager, but she later chose to remain a Seneca. There's swimming pools there, fishing areas, hiking trails, hot air ballooning, whitewater rafting, canoeing. You need a permit for that. Those are just some of the additional attractions at Letchworth. Well-manicured trails. They parallel the gorge and take you right up close to the waterfalls so you can actually be cooled by the mist. It's a beautiful place. The big fall that you want to get the picture is the Middle Falls. It's 250 feet across, drops 107 feet. If you want to see some photos of the park, you can go to roadtrekking.com, the blog. I'll put notes in the show notes here. I've got a whole bunch of pictures that we took. Pets are very welcome at the park. They're restricted to the walking on the loops of the campground. If you do bring a pet, though, you want to have a copy of their rabies inoculation so you won't be, because you can't register without that. So, and that's just good for everybody when you travel. Bring a copy of your dog's papers, is particularly their rabies inoculation. All the campsites have 30-amp hookups. There are some 50-amp sites for bigger RVs. And I think the overnight rate for non-New York residents is $32.50. It's kind of expensive, but that includes park admission. So it's not a bad deal. And the park is that spectacular. So check it out. Number one, voted by USA Today readers, number one state park in Michigan, the Letchworth State Park in New York.
In a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, there goes another episode, number 30 of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. Now, I know a lot of you are listening on mobile devices as you're driving, and we've given you a lot of links and different resources in this program. Don't worry, they're all available on the show notes page at the blog, roadtrekking.com. roadtrekking.com/30 will take you to the show notes page, and I've got links built into everything from the park that we just talked about here to the dark sky event and all the stories that we reported. So check those out. Hey, I want to thank you all for being a part of this podcast. I want to thank particularly those of you who have gone to iTunes and given us a rating and a review. This is so important to us. If you would do me one favor, if you're a regular listener, would you go? Those 5-star reviews that you give us so kindly really go a big way for us being as popular as we are with a podcast. They help us get noticed. They help us just get this message out about the RV lifestyle. I want to thank Badger John, who wrote Love the Podcast. This is a review he gave us on iTunes. He says, "You make the hour of your broadcast entertaining and informative. I'm in the planning phase to buy a Class B motorhome later this year. I'm learning so much every week. I look forward to getting the newsletter and then the podcast. I hope to see you when you come to Madison, Wisconsin this summer to the big FMCA event." Yep, we'll be there in August in Madison, Wisconsin. Looking forward to meeting you, Badger John. Want to thank TailFins57, who says, "Love listening to the podcast, inspiring us to live the RV lifestyle." And we want to thank RV Hopeful, who says, "Really enjoy the informational podcast. I don't own an RV, but through this podcast, I'm learning a lot about the lifestyle, and I like what I hear." Anyway, thank you all. If you'd all do us the favor and leave us a rating and a review, there's instructions at the end of the show notes page at roadtrekking.com/30. Remember, if you want to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, record a voicemail message. Just click that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com blog. Please follow us on Facebook, our group, or our page. Also on Twitter, I'm known as Road Trekking, at Road Trekking for Twitter. We tweet all day long. So do us that favor. Please leave us that rating and review. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And that way, when a new episode is released every Wednesday, you'll have it waiting for you right there when you open up your smartphone. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendlin. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, who's a little under the weather this week with that cold, we want to say thank you for putting us in your ear. We're road trekking across North America. So long, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday and every day on Facebook and the blog at roadtrekking.com. Bye-bye.